up your frozen dinners, grab your TV tray, and settle in for another episode of the Plus Platoon, your podcast for all things Disney Plus, brought to you by Disney Plus fans. Watch along with us every week as we cover all the new, the old, the good, and the bad on Disney Plus. So put down that remote, don't touch that dial, and welcome your fabulous Plus Platoon host.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Plus Platoon. We're a Disney Plus fan podcast that gives honest, spoiler-filled reviews of movies and shows on Disney Plus. We'll look at new releases, coming attractions, and we'll even go back into the vault to revisit some of the classic Disney that's on the platform. Make sure you're subscribed and you will never miss a moment. I'm going to bring in Kate. Kate, good to see you this evening.
Good to see you too. I'm wondering if we will all see eye to eye on this documentary.
That's not bad.
Come on, Pete. Don't let me down.
Spring in, Pete.
I goofed. I didn't get something.
Nah, yeah. Steve, help.
I don't think there's any. There's no help.
Yeah. And even if I don't have the perfect cast with me, this is going to be a great show. Anyway. So I do have the perfect cast. I just not flexible enough. So anyway, guys, if you have not already, please like, subscribe, share. We got some fun shows coming up and we really need your help. So if the more you like and subscribe to us and share with us what you want to see, please. And I know I'm jumping to the end on that, but still. So this week we watched Not Just a Goof. It was actually a documentary of the making of a Goofy movie. This one was unique, I think, in the fact that they actually took a lot of behind-the-scenes videos. And I mean a lot of behind-the-scenes videos. It's almost like they realized, hey, we can use the camcorder for this for like, because we were like 92, 93, 94 when this was all being made, when it was all being made.
Right.
So it's a case of that's when they were, and filming, doing stuff to tape like that was cheap. So it was, there's a lot of behind the scenes stuff and pretty much everybody who was involved or almost everybody who was involved was in the, actually appeared in this documentary, unlike some of the previous ones we've done recently. Mm-hmm. So my question to you is, this was an hour and a half of the making of the Goofy movie. Did it hold your attention? Kate, I'll let you start.
Absolutely. Were there a couple parts that were like, okay. But for the most part, 100%. However, I loved a Goofy movie. I loved how they had all of the cast come in and talk about it. I loved that they had the original director come in and talk about it. I loved that they talked about what was going on with the Disney company while all of this was going on. I love how they even talked about how it kind of flopped in the theaters because it came out when Bad Boys came out and Tommy Boy and
no promotion.
Yeah. And then I loved how it has become a bit of a 90s cult classic. So yeah, I really, really enjoyed this movie. Pete, what'd you think?
You know, I did too. It was over and I was like, wow, that was quick. Like that rarely happens with documentaries because usually at some point you're like, all right, this can move on to the next thing or whatever. And especially I was worried that they were going to like really spend a lot of time on, oh, here's the cultural impact of this movie. And they really only spent like maybe 15, 20 minutes on that. So it was well done. I thought the way they did that and didn't, they got the point across, but they didn't overkill it. It's funny. I'm the opposite, Kate. This movie had no impact on me. I mean, I was in my mid 20s when it came out. I've always been a Disney. I've always been an animation fan, but because it wasn't really marketed at the time, I knew it existed and that was about it. And I never saw it until we reviewed it, I think just last year.
It's been like 3 years since we've actually done it.
Has it been?
Oh, okay. It was a long time ago.
Oh, okay. Well, anyways, that's the only time I've seen it. But I also love documentaries, especially animation documentaries. So I thought this was very well done. It held my attention very well. Mm-hmm. Steve, what about you?
I'm the same. I enjoyed it. Yes. I was talking to Derek about this. Like Pete, this was not of my generation. I think I maybe saw it later on TV or what's not. So my question, like for Kate, would be, what is the impact, or why did it resonate so much, like for your age group?
Well, partly, so this movie came out in 95, which means I was 8. The music was a little bit different. The music, and it showed, I mean, yes, people in Disney movies have complicated relationships with their parents, but usually it's like, the parent is King Triton, or it's parent is like, well, not Mother Gothel, she wasn't around, but like the parents, like it's goofy is the parent. And who hasn't been a little bit embarrassed of a parent before? And Max was just so relatable. He has this crush on Roxanne, and he also loves Powerline. And who hasn't had their parents be like, we're going on a camping trip, and you're like, but there's a concert, but like, but can we not, but like, but I really don't want to, but it just, because I don't remember watching this movie for the first time. I'm fairly certain I had it on VHS, because my grandma got me every VHS Disney movie. That was what I got for Christmas. So, but I think it was, the music was so good. Goofy is so lovable, and you see such a different side of him. Like, and they talk about this in the documentary, that it wasn't just like, oh, it's Goofy, but right. He like showed sadness, and he showed disappointment, and he showed how much he loved his son. Like, it just, yeah, I just resonated with it as a kid. I don't know. Derek, what did you think?
I will say this came out when I was 15, and I know I did not. This is actually one I did not go see in the theaters. Mainly because it wasn't treated like a Disney feature release, to be perfectly honest. Lion King had come out the year before, I think 95. Was that also when Pocahontas came out?
I think that was Pocahontas, yeah.
Yeah, which I also didn't go see in theaters just because it looked not great. Mm-hmm. But I don't remember. I remember seeing this up on the Disney Channel, but by then I was up into high school. And so while I would like some of the funny parts, most of it was just kind of a, yeah, okay, fine. I think it honestly didn't help the fact that I had a very good relationship with both of my parents, and that going on vacations with the family was what we did. I mean, I didn't really have any, but I want to go do this type moments. We go vacation as a family. So I guess I didn't have that. There wasn't much of the, I want to do this and my parents want me to do this and they're diametrically opposed. I didn't really have that growing up, which I consider myself lucky, but yeah. Did not, my parents, you know, never made me feel like that. So,
I think even if you don't, I think you'd still like the aspect of being embarrassed by your parent, because everybody has had that. But yeah, I agree, because I had the same thing. It's like, I went on vacation with my parents. I loved vacationing.
I did too, for the record. Yeah. Our vacations consisted of going to Michigan to visit family. So for the record.
Right. Well. But what I'm saying is, I guess now that all that being said, as far as like the not connection, this documentary, for the most part, held my attention. As Kate said, there were sections where it got a little long, okay? Where they just kept like, almost like they kept repeating some of the same thoughts about how they were being treated the entire way through it. I actually loved the animation sections they threw in, especially the animations of Jeffrey Katzenberg, those looking like the Wallace Shawn character from The Incredibles.
Yeah.
I mean, but I loved that part, because that part, I think, broke it up enough that, because it was Katzenberg that died, wasn't it?
No, he's still alive.
Okay.
No. You're thinking, and was it Frank Wells?
Frank Wells, yeah.
Okay, yeah, okay, that's what I was thinking of. It's interesting then that he's one they did not talk to about this.
Yeah, I mean, he went on to form DreamWorks.
Right, but you would think he still might have talked to, although
you would think at this point maybe he would have
at all.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. But you would have thought at this point maybe he would have,
or that Paul and Eisner.
Yeah.
And talk about it. So right. I mean, I thought it held my attention. Okay. So if we all agreed that, you know, we all liked it, we all enjoyed it, it all held our attention, what was the thing that your favorite part of it that you learned? What was the thing that you learned? Okay, and Kate, you can go first because I can see you're just first thing.
Easy. That they brought in dancers for the eye-to-eye dance and that they filmed the dancers doing it and then based the animation. And they had it all of it that I could have rewatched and watched that section of this with the dancers next to the animation. I could have rewatched that over and over and over. That was so good. And I know that like in Avatar, they had people with the little dots and they like used and stuff. And I know that that has been used in the past.
You know when they started doing that, Kate? Before Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs.
They did it with Alice in Wonderland. They did it like
a Disney thing forever. It's called rotoscoping.
But it like, well, I hadn't seen
it's
it.
It's different. Now, where they scan it in the computer versus rotoscoping, but yeah,
it was so cool. That was so cool to me to like watch the dancers and how they got all of their mannerisms and like
watching dancers. Speaking of watching dancers.
Oh, no. Oh God!
Nice, very clean moves, Kate.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
That wow!
2021.
Did you back up power line?
Someone challenged me to learn it. So while I was DJing at a pool, I taught myself off of YouTube. Anyway, that was wild. So that was just that. I'll leave it at that because I don't want to take anybody else's. Pete, you go ahead and go.
I think just it's interesting. As I said, this held no cultural resonance for me. And my daughter, I never showed it to my daughter either. And she's standing right outside out the door waving. And so it really didn't touch our family at all. But seeing how the movie touched people, like, I always find that interesting because it's like, wow, this, like, for certain people, this movie just hit. And for, you know, and that happens for some people, a certain movie just hits right. And I can, you know, looking back on the movie, I can see where like, oh yeah, that's, I get why that would happen. I get why, you know, depending on your relationship with your father, if you don't have a good relationship or something like that, this could really, or you struggled, you know, I could see where this could really hit people. So I actually found that part the most interesting. You were talking about the animation. My daughter was, who just graduated with an animation degree, when we were watching that part, talked about how hard it is to animate dancing and that you kind of have to do that and you have to get those images in front of you so that you can make them look, because otherwise it just looks like people are flopping around. So
yeah. Which is what a lot of dancing recently looks like.
They look like, she said, they look like limp noodles.
Steve?
Go ahead, Steve.
Mine would be, I was talking to Derek about this, how Bill Farmer sounds so much like Goofy in his normal voice. like, because I've heard like the voice of Mickey Mouse speak and totally different, and Minnie Mouse and totally different. But here, what some things he's saying, I guess could hear Goofy in there. And then the thing with Katzenberg, when they wanted to replace Goofy's voice
with Steve Martin.
Steve Martin.
Oh, how and horrible.
And they did a test and he realized how bad it sounded and yeah. It was not going to work. So because the entire thing with actually Katzenberg, how he had some great ideas, but other times he had like no clue what he was talking about. And just how that impacted some Disney films of he had this idea and just I guess that aspect of it and finding it fascinating.
Well, like you, Derek, like you wanted to take a whole new world out of Little Mermaid, remember?
Right.
No. Time out. Did he just do that? Did he just put a whole new world in Little Mermaid?
Oh, I'm sorry.
You're right.
Part of your world. Part of your world. Sorry.
I love though that I heard what you said and I was like, yeah.
Part of your world. Sorry, but. Yes, yeah. Part of your world. But he wanted to pull that whole scene out and like, could you imagine that on the cutting room floor? So yeah. Executives don't always have the best ideas.
And for me, that then brings in what I enjoyed. I think he screwed up by making Goofy deeper in this. I think because they wanted more gags and more gags and more gags and more gags, which seemed to be what the people going to it wanted to see. Because if you'll notice, Goofy Movie 2, which is not as great, is almost all physical gags.
Mm.
There's not the super deep part in Goofy Movie 2. But it was also direct-to-video. So it's just a case of, I also thought it was interesting how this was one of the first, they couldn't quite go digital picture capturing yet, how they had to actually take a picture of a screen
mm-hmm.
to film it. And then there was that one pixel that was out.
Oh, yeah.
So it's one of those, I also love it cost $18 million. No, it really cost $28. So, but still, cost that, they made what, $36 or $38 million? So it didn't lose money for Disney.
No.
But it wasn't, let's face it, it wasn't The Lion King.
But yeah, the Lion King the year before made $250 million or whatever, so.
But if they did like a retro night at somewhere and brought this back to theaters, it would sell out so fast.
Well, they're already doing that. It's D23 is.
Yeah, they're touring it right now. Yeah.
Around the country, like.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. No, it's definitely the impact of it, and that's one of the things that's interesting about the documentary is the impact of it. You know, a movie that didn't I'm going to back up, and I'm going to say it a different way. It's always impressive to me how, in the long term, a movie lands in the culture the way it really, like, how it deserves. Like, you have movies that are big hits but are garbage, and 20 years later no one remembers them, and then you have movies like this that that didn't hit but hit people after the fact in home video. You know, another very famous example, Shawshank Redemption, was right around this time that completely bombed in theaters,
and then TNT got a hold of it.
And then TNT got a hold of it, played it all the time because it was cheap, and it became this big, you know, thing that everybody loves. And it's like the top rated movie on IMDb and everything like that. So it's, as I said, I think movies, you know, the great thing about movies is in the long term, you'll learn what the actual cultural impact is, because once people get a hold of them and have easy access to them, then you'll find out what the good ones really are, the ones that stick around. So,
and it'll be interesting to see, because I'm convinced every generation has that movie that no one really went to in the theaters, right. But there are examples of it everywhere. So it's just, so I'm just kind of.
I don't know if this would be my generation's or if The Sandlot would be. Because I don't know if this was if The Sandlot was as huge in theaters as it has become a cult classic for my generation.
No, that wasn't huge in theaters either. There were a lot of movies in that time because I was just seeing the other Disney movie is Nightmare Before Christmas was not a success. I saw that in the theaters, and I was in the theaters with like five people seeing that movie. And so, you know, it was not a success on first release, but again, repeated, even like Hocus Pocus is extremely popular now, and it was not a big hit on initial release.
It wasn't a big hit again until it got on TV on Disney Channel.
But that's what I'm saying is once people have access to it, that's when when you really find out what people think of it and how long lasting something's going to be. So I think that, you know, that's what you got to look at when it comes to what's going to be the cultural impact of something, because it's very different from how much money it makes upon initial release. And, you know, and Disney's taking advantage of it. Kate showed us popcorn bucket, right? Selling those popcorn buckets for $30 a piece. They probably made more on that popcorn bucket than they made on the movie.
Not since it was only at Disneyland.
Oh,
well. Probably not. No. And I know why neither of us really remembered why, you know, this was not the big kids movie that came out in 95 at all. Toy Story.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Toy Story was the Thanksgiving release that year.
Yeah. So, Toy Story was right.
Magic.
Yeah. So anyway, so a couple weeks ago, we watched the Jaws at 50. We've watched several documentaries on the making of live action movies. We've watched several documentaries on the making of this is one of the only documentaries about making a specific movie, but we've watched documentaries about like the songs of animated movies and that kind of stuff. So my question for you is this: do animated, I guess I'm going to rephrase what's on the screen a little bit. Do animated or live action movies make better making of documentaries? So would you rather watch a making of a live action movie documentary or making of an animated movie documentary?
Oh,
Pete, I'll start with you.
One thing I'd say about animation is that animation, because of the way they produce animation and that they storyboard it so much and they like go over it again and again and again, it's always interesting to see how a movie evolves. Whereas a lot of live action movies, like there's a script and then they take the script and they film the script and then they edit the movie and it's a movie, you know, and so it's still interesting sometimes behind the scenes of how that all comes together. But I think what's interesting about animated movies is you can, like, I'd love to see a Tangled documentary, because that movie was a completely different movie, which they produced. That's why it's actually the most expensive animated movie ever made, because they actually made made a movie, scrapped it, and made another movie.
And you count Avatar as animated?
Well, yeah, Avatar is pretty animated. but I think that,
anyway, yeah.
Whatever. Yeah. But, you know, so yeah, I think animated movie documentaries are really interesting to me. So, Steve, what do you think?
I think it really comes down to who are they interviewing. I look at the Jaws and this, and it's that making sure you have the people who are part of it and the reflecting and interviewing, whatever. I think why I enjoyed this is they had numerous people talking about the sort of the steps they went through and sort of some of the challenges, like the dance of how you're going to do this, or that big scene of we have all these lighting aspects. How can we get that across into an animated film? Because that's so different than like live streaming. So I'd say I tend to go more through live action than animated, but it really comes down to who are you interviewing and where are you getting your footage from?
And to me, it also goes what movie you're doing. And honestly, I think the older movies make better live action documentaries, mainly because it's not all in a green background. That's why, you know, the Marvel movies, you don't see a ton of making of documentaries on those because it's all green screen or 98% green screen anyway.
Yeah. But, and a lot, especially the big studio movies like that, it's so electric, it's so controlled what they show that you never get any kind of like behind the scenes or anything like that. I'm saying like the real like conflict that went on and things like that, because that's part of what's interesting about this is like the struggle of it, you know. So
yeah, and I leaned honestly more towards animated ones, mainly because I usually typically lean more towards animated movies. Mm-hmm. Honestly. But the animated ones, I think what makes part of them so great is you see, again, you see the lines that never made it to the screen. You see some of the, especially one of the best ones is the just sitting and watching the recording takes of Robin Williams as the genie.
Yeah.
All of the stuff that they did not use.
Mm-hmm.
Including some of the stuff that got a little blue. But, it's just kind of a case of I prefer the animated ones because you see all the recording and then, okay, no, that didn't work. We have to go back and redo it and redo this one. And this, this didn't work. And we keep, you know, all the different changes and the character developments, because character development of Iron Man is going to look like Iron Man. Ursula went through so many changes.
Right.
And I also thought it was interesting that the director of Goofy Movie also did Tarzan and Enchanted. So
actually my nerdiness when he came up on screen and they said, here's Kevin Lima, the director, I was like, it's the Enchanted guy.
Yeah.
He's the chipmunk. did the voice of the chipmunk.
He did the voice of the chipmunk in Enchanted. Yeah. So, Kate, which do you prefer, live action or the animated?
This is hard because I think it all depends on the movie. Like, I feel like we watched like a making of either Sleeping Beauty or Snow White, or maybe it was just animation. The
Sleeping Beauty about.
Yeah, like, and that one didn't hold my attention as much, but this did. And so I think it all depends on, and like, I don't know if a making of Jaws would hold my attention as much as.
And for the record, she was not here the week we did the making of Jaws documentary.
Oh, there's a making of Jaws. I was not here. That's right. So, I think it all depends on the movie. I think it depends kind of on the subject matter. I think, there are some animated movies that I would just be like, no, thanks. I don't need to see the making of it. And there are some live action movies that I would say, no, thanks. I don't need to see the. So,
yeah.
I think it just all depends on what the movie is.
I think we would all agree that movies we like would be better than movies that didn't hold our attentions. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. But I think part of us saying this did work is that I don't really care about this movie and I still enjoyed the documentary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So any other thoughts? Anything else you guys want to say about the documentary, or are we ready for Pixie Dust?
I really enjoyed when they shared the clips of the voice acting and how sometimes they brought them together so they actually sort of could feed off of each other. Because sometimes it's you're in your own little separate booth doing their own thing. And especially the one who did Max, how expressive he is when he was doing his voice acting. Like, I found that sort of fascinating.
With the girl who played the female, the teenage love interest, how they had them together. Yeah. So, I thought it was interesting that they intentionally did not go with a young kid for Max just because they knew it was going to take 2 years and kids' voices changed so much.
Yeah.
So, but I think the characters recording together, that I think that's very much a Disney thing.
It's still very rare, though. Like they've done that, like Ernie Sabella and Nathan Lane for The Lion King recorded together.
John Goodman and Billy Crystal did John some Goodman of their stuff
and,
together.
Yeah, John Goodman and Billy Crystal, but like Tim Allen and Tom Hanks did not for the Toy Story movies.
For any of them. Yeah.
Right. So,
but you know, I think they did it more. They do it more like with it when it's the buddies together, because Buzz and Woody, especially after the first movie, aren't really together that much.
Well, that's true. Yeah.
So, yeah.
But I'm just saying it's not a common thing to have the people in the studio together. And seeing studio recording, it's always interesting to me though. Cause like, one of the things that one of my favorite parts of not Alan Menken, the other guy,
not Tim Rice.
Can I think of his
name? Howard Ashman.
Yeah. The Howard documentary is like when he was directing, Angela Lansbury and, the people from Beauty and the Beast and everything like that. I just find that kind of stuff fascinating because how voice acting, how you have to get things across in voice acting. And yeah.
Okay. So as we always do, cups of pixie dust out of 5 for Not Just a Goof. Kate.
I'm going to give it a solid 4.
Okay.
I really enjoyed it. I actually learned something. Like, I learned things that, and sometimes it's when we watch Disney documentaries, I don't really learn something. So I'm going to give it a 4. Pete.
Yeah, I think I'm going to give this, I tend to rate documentaries on a different scale because movies are more repeatable to me. Very few documentaries are like, I'm going to go back and watch this over and over. So I think I'm going to give this a 3.5 as far as a documentary goes, in that I really did enjoy it. It held my attention. I found it interesting. As a standalone movie, am I going to go back and watch it ever? Probably not. But if you're a fan of this movie, it's definitely worth watching. But even if you're just a fan of Disney animation, I think it's interesting. So 3.5 for me.
And I'm going with a 4. I really enjoyed it.
Oh.
I liked it, but I'm giving, and on my scale, that makes it a 3 for me. But I enjoyed this. Not as much as some of the other documentaries, a couple of the other documentaries we've watched lately, but a lot better than some of the other documentaries we've watched lately.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Okay. Kate, what do we got for Disney Plus news this week?
Not very much. All we've got is, first up, Dolphins Up Close will come to the service on September 12th. It goes in search of dolphins forming bait balls with the fish they are hunting.
If you've never seen that, that's actually very interesting. Very interesting. I'm going to watch this, and if I think it's worth it, we will be watching that one on the show, just because I love ocean documentaries for the most part. And if I think this is worth it, we will definitely be watching that one.
Yeah, dolphins can be interesting too because they're so clever
and smart. Yeah. So.
And last but certainly not least, Star Wars Visions Season 3 will be launched on October 29th. The production returns to an all Japanese lineup similar to Season 1. And that's it, the Disney Plus news.
Yeah. So. So they did the all Japanese different artists for season one.
Season one, yeah.
Season two, they went all over the world. Now season three, they're going back to more of the primarily anime style of.
And I liked season two a lot better. So this will be though generally, I mean, anything like this is going to be hit or miss. Some things are going to be better than others, some, you know, but
yeah,
they've all been worth watching, in my opinion, anyways, as a Star Wars fan. I've enjoyed them because you don't really need knowledge of Star Wars lore other than Jedi versus Sith.
Right.
If you got that, you're covered.
Yeah. Okay. Next week, we are diving back into Marvel. We actually haven't had much Marvel lately, but we're going to be watching Thunderbolts or the next Avengers or the new Avengers or Thunderbolts Avengers. Quest for more money or whatever it is. We'll be watching that one next week. It essentially features all of the Marvel people from all the series that they've done up to this point, essentially. So, but we will be doing that next week. After that, we will, we've got a couple of more shows, but as I said earlier, guys, we need suggestions. Please, please, please tell us what you want us to watch. Email us at plusplatoon@gmail.com. Send us messages on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, anywhere. Send us carrier pigeons. We'll answer them. We've got new episodes Thursdays on YouTube and all the major podcasting services. For Kate, Pete, and Steve, Gina in the background, we will see everyone next week. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for watching this week's episode of the Plus Platoon. Be sure to subscribe to the Plus Platoon podcast to keep getting great content each week. Then head over to Apple Podcasts and leave those 5-star reviews as they help make the Plus Platoon visible to even more Disney Plus fans. Also, go to YouTube and like and subscribe to the Plus Platoon channel, where you can watch all future episodes live. If you have a question for the Plus Platoon, please send us an email to plusplatoon@gmail.com or connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram at Plus Platoon.
The Plus Platoon is a Disney Plus fan podcast and is not affiliated with the Walt Disney Company or the Disney Plus streaming service. All opinions expressed on the show are solely those of the individual hosts and in no way reflect the views of the Walt Disney Company.
Thanks for watching, and be sure to stay tuned for next week's episode, because the Plus Platoon is to be continued.